Welcome to another episode of Erp Chirp, a podcast by Albertans, about Albertans, but for all Erpers. I'm Erica Ensign.
I'm Annette Weirstra.
And I'm Kirsten Gorick.
And we just watched season 4, episode 2, Friends in Low Places. I get it now. I get the title. Going in the first time watching it, like, I wasn't really thinking about the title. And now that I'm doing a podcast about it, I'm like, oh, I get it. I get it. It's Eve. She's trapped down some stairs. And
they're like literally in low places.
And she is a low person. And they have to go down in the building to get to the gate. And yeah, there's a lot happening. There's a lot happening.
But they're also like metaphorically in low places. Mm-hmm.
Especially at the end. I want to start at the end because I want Kirsten's reaction.
Oh boy. Time jumps. Hey, those are always fun.
Oh yeah.
So yeah, I mean, I knew something was up because Nicole was walking around like her leg wasn't broken when Waverly finally got home. And I was like, they're not gonna pull the switcheroo on us twice now, are they? And not make her be real. Especially after that one scene we saw.
Ooh, boy. Yes, we are fanning ourselves.
Yes, because it was very, very hot with the GHT. And so, yeah, it was wild. I was just sitting there. I think I was kind of distracted because I was like, how long has it been? How long has it been? What has gone wrong? I actually had a moment midway through the episode that I didn't even voice the thought because it seemed too terrifying. But I was like, what if... Like, with the exception of Nedley and Mercedes, like, they were all out of purgatory for a somewhat extended period of time. And I was like, what if something has happened to the whole, like, what if they leveled it or bombed it? Or, like, what's gone wrong since they've all been away? And obviously something very much has gone wrong.
It's not
to be determined.
It's not a crater. So, I mean.
That's positive. Like, I was like, they're not going to hurt Didsbury like that. So.
Instead, they're just apparently hurting people in Didsbury.
Right. Because... They're just like, you know, putting bags over their heads and hanging them and stuff. So that's not cool.
That's super dark.
It really is. Yeah. Like that ending was like, it was such a roller coaster of those 5 minutes where you're like, whoa, hey, what? It was a lot.
Yeah, I mean, the whole episode kind of is a bit of a roller coaster in terms of emotional reaction, because at the beginning, we still think that that's Nicole. And yes. I was fooled. I was 100% fooled.
Yeah, I did have a moment where I was like, how is her hair in that French braid when it was so short? But I also was like, I just want it to, like, I want them to be together. I want her to actually be there.
I was pleased watching it for a second time, recognizing how quickly Waverly caught on, because I feel like the first time I watched it, it seemed like it took forever because I figured it out before she figured it out. But this time I'm like, oh, it really wasn't that long.
Yeah. And she was kind of suspicious, like things didn't feel right before she before they had the kiss and she could tell for sure.
Yep.
But I feel like before that, she was already suspicious that things were not.
Oh, yeah. There were a lot of
well.
A lot of red flags. And that cherry blossom Nicole and her rants about men and God, and she had some anger issues that Eve.
Yes.
And yeah, and Waverly, I mean, Waverly is from day one. She's like, she's our smart cookie, basically. So it makes sense that she would twig to the fact that things are not quite right away. But at the same, she also really, really loves Nicole and really just wants to be with Nicole. So I thought it was very well balanced in terms of both the writing and the acting, in like when she sort of started to wonder versus when she actually figured it out versus all of the things that she did. I give Doc a little bit of side eye for like not, I mean, I don't think that his blood would have necessarily been super helpful anyway, because he's not human anymore. But still, like, he didn't do anything. He ran in there.
He tried to give her his coat, and that was about the extent of it.
No, but then when, like, the machine starts going off, like, he goes in another room. He sees the stone artwork of you know, Nicole's face on one side and Eve's face, I guess, on the other side, and then runs back, and like he's supposed to be feeding the machine so that something bad doesn't happen, and he doesn't feed the machine, and guess what? Something bad happens.
He had one job.
Oh, Doc. But yeah, it would have been interesting to see what would have happened if vampire blood would have gone into that machine, if like they would have just let her out sooner and made her stronger.
Exploded. Yeah.
So who knows?
Well, and we still don't really know what the blood does. Like, does it feed her? Does it feed something else? Like, we don't really know.
Is it like a battery? And then that's the it's blood powered to keep this prison rolling. But if, you know, so if you use human blood, that works. But if you don't have human blood, like, you just get an angel butt to sit on a stone throne. And then that's like the solar power that just keeps going and going and going.
But her, when she put, Waverly put her angel blood in it, mm-hmm. it started to bloom.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's when the tree showed mm-hmm. up.
There's still a lot of questions about how Eve got out, because the little, she was stuck in her little cylinder, and then at one point it kind of expanded and broke.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't pick up on like anything specific that Waverly did.
I thought it was just that the machine hadn't been fed in long enough. Mm-hmm. And
yeah,
so like you hear like the lights are going bananas, and you kind of hear a sound. And then that's when fake Nicole yells, you know, "Let freedom ring, friggin' finally." I think that was just, we didn't feed the machine. At least that was what I took from it.
I like how she doesn't drop F-bombs, but real Nicole does.
That's true. I will say that I don't remember these episodes that well, because as we talked about last time, like, Annette and I have not rewatched them a bunch because we mm-hmm. wanted to sort of stay fresh. So I can say with entire honesty that I still, right now, I don't know whose book, or if anybody's book, but no, we saw a book. So she definitely
took
a book.
There's a book at the end.
Yes.
Yeah, it was in the bag that
the Doc threw in the well.
Out. And he threw that cute bag in the well. That was like a bad move.
Well, you know, maybe he knew that bag was sourced from the garden, and that like right. maybe there's something hinky about
bad.
It. Mm-hmm. But yeah, bad, so bad. I don't know who it is.
I can't remember if we find out at all this season, or if it's still a mystery, because maybe mm-hmm. it could be.
Maybe.
Because mm-hmm. We're very detailed bad rememberers. Mm-hmm. can't tell you.
I remember things once I've talked about them on a podcast. Like, that is my way to like put something
does.
In my memory. And since we haven't podcasted about this yet, I don't know.
It's all like right. Did we watch it if we didn't podcast about it?
No, it just doesn't count. Okay, so I want to talk a little bit about the Nicole and Winona and Rachel side of things, the mm-hmm. zombie thing. I know zombies, how did we think that went as a continuation of last episode's zombie thing?
It was all right. I mean, it felt like they added a lot of good tension, like they propelled things forward for the story, right?
Mm-hmm.
They gave us that hilarious scene where poor Winona was low on oxygen, trying to get the key cards and get downstairs to save Nicole. And so there's just that urgency of, and even after, so they made it through and they got to Nicole, and they're literally banging on the glass trying to get in
mm-hmm.
while they figure out, like, do we open this door to the garden? You know, Rachel had found out that her mom wasn't alive, which is something that Winona had already figured out and didn't tell her.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of emotion in that scene that I kind of thought was really well done. You know, Rachel's got this badass streak to her where she like pulls a gun on these perfect strangers and threatens to shoot them, you know, trying to sort of live out her mother's dying wish that she carried out. And the zombies, I like, if we never see them again, I'm cool with that.
Same, honestly.
Was the really slow, crawly one that was adding all that tension Nicole's mm-hmm. laying on the floor. She can't move. And Winona and Rachel are trying to get to her.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I kind of love that. But I also think there's limits to what you can do with zombies because they're kind of a little one note.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think
Nicole say that was so funny? It was like walnuts or something.
Oh, yep. Walnuts. That was her. Like, she may not have dropped an F-bomb right then. She was just like, oh, walnuts. Oh, very funny. Yeah, I thought the zombies were a good, you know, you gotta put a hurdle in between the heroes and the thing you're trying to get to. And that worked fine. And they didn't overdo it. Because I also am not a big fan of zombie stuff. But like I said before, science zombies are slightly better. And I appreciated the scene where they had to go through and be quiet and like find a card hanging on a zombie. Because that's like viscerally, I think about doing that. And it's like, that would be really terrifying. But I appreciate mm-hmm. that they didn't really direct it in a way that was terrifying because you had the hypoxia happening and Winona just like, you know, giggling. And it was very funny. Oh, yeah. While we're talking about this side of things, let's revisit Ratgate. everybody.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
So for those of you who have not listened to Herb Chirp in previous seasons, we give the Alberta perspective on Winona Earp. And there was a rat that went into a blender in a previous episode of Winona Earp. And we were all, no.
We were terribly upset.
Yes,
no rats.
Improper representation of our province.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
We are. And also that scene was just downright gross. But
yeah, we are a rat-free province. So are we meant to believe that Monument is not in Alberta?
No, I think that it is in Alberta, but you're in, like we were saying in our chat, there's a lab where they probably have lab rats. And so Rachel's rat best friend, which we assume was a literal rat that she was hanging out with, which, you know, it could have been a joke, but she was hanging out with a little white lab rat.
Yeah,
I feel that, for science, you know.
Yeah,
I feel like that's okay. Like I'm quick googling, like, are there lab rats in Alberta, or is there like a thing?
I don't know. There's definitely lab rats. My niece does research on strokes and brains, and she does research with rats.
All right,
so there's definitely lab rats in Alberta.
Okay, so confirmed that there are rats in Alberta, but they are like controlled rats. So I do like the idea.
Our rats.
Yeah, I do like the idea that it was a lab rat that she befriended. Like maybe it just lives in a cave and she just has been feeding it. So
it follows her around because it's really cute. And
headcanon accepted. Why not? All right, and I really liked seeing Nicole come clean to Winona about how she was going to absolutely say yes to Waverly, and here's the ring, and just it was a great goodbye scene at the end where Nicole can't move, can't walk, and I mean obviously she got out of there somehow, but trying to go into the garden would probably not have been the greatest idea. I'm not entirely sure why Winona dove head first, but you know, that was a choice. And then I didn't actually realize what Nicole was throwing after her until
I didn't either at first.
But that's a nice move. Like, yeah, you know, give this to my baby.
It was a nice and their moment, their goodbye, and they're like, we're best friends. Like the whole there was a very sweet, like, when hot moment that I quite enjoyed.
They are good together. They really are. I love to watch them. I particularly enjoyed the fact that Eve can do the shape-shifting thing, and there were a number of different pieces of that that made me very happy. One of those was getting to see Jeremy. This is one of the times where I wished we were in person so I could see Kirsten's reaction to having Jeremy appear, even though it's not really Jeremy.
Not real Jeremy, but he's still cute as ever.
I was so torn because he was adorable, but also evil.
That's the point.
And like wicked strong. And like seeing him in Doc fight gave me feelings. I had lots and lots of feelings.
And how protective Doc is of Jeremy. Like but I think in all of our headcanons, they had developed a very, very close friendship and close bond, and like that's borne out on screen, but I feel like what we saw in this episode today really cements it into canon, like just how bonded they are and how close they are, because that's the face that Eve chooses to put in front of Doc to try to protect herself. Like, you're not gonna hurt these, what was it, like puppy dog peepers or something?
Puppy dog peepers.
Yep. And what is she says something like, there's so much pop culture knowledge in this head, or useless pop culture knowledge. And he's like, it shows he's passionate. And then just punches him. And it's just like, oh, see, Doc just gets Jeremy.
Yes. He's so protective of him. And it's just that, yeah, that made me very, very happy. And then the obvious next step, which actually I was surprised at first that it was Jeremy and not Winona, but then, you know, taking it up to, like, I feel like that was a good psychological move to step one, and then step two, here's Winona, which also threw him for a loop, and then Winona shows up and you get that like, it's farcical, so mistaken identity, but it's so good.
Battle and the safe word is a thing.
Oh, so it's so timely right now. There's so much love for Dolly in general, but I think like in the world right now, we are loving Dolly Parton even more and more.
I think the safe word was just Hollywood, though.
I thought it was, I think Dollywood. It was Dollywood. I had the closed captions on this time.
I'm pretty sure mine said Hollywood.
What?
Oh, I think it's Dollywood.
Which, yeah, what service did you watch it on?
Crave.
I watched on Google.
I don't want to look it up because I don't want spoilers, but
I'll look it up.
Yeah, and I watched it on iTunes. So
I feel like Dollywood is funnier than Hollywood.
Yeah.
Dollywood is definitely funnier than Hollywood. I may have just not noticed it because I was trying to watch the actors.
It's Dollywood.
It is. Okay, good, good. All right, I appreciate that. I'm actually really glad that you mentioned that because otherwise I would have gotten it wrong. And honestly, if I had not had the closed caption on, I probably would have just thought it was Hollywood. Because
oh, me too. Mm-hmm. I actually put on the closed captions at your request, Erica, when you were talking about how helpful it was. So I did that this time.
It is. It's hard to keep up with the quippiness of it because it was still really quippy.
Mm-hmm. And the pace, right? They talk a mile a minute sometimes in this show. Mm-hmm. It kind of reminds me of Gilmore Girls where all these pop culture references and things that are like, pew, pew, pew.
Just you know, why Clona? Like, are you a clone? Why Clona? Like, that's just there are so many of those. It's like machine gun fire, rat a tat a tat a tat. You get one liners coming at you, and it's wonderful. It's very wonderful. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that whole sequence with her trying to explain, like, in my head, I'm like, okay, the first thing you should do is be like, I saw that fake me over there. This is not it. Right. This is the real one. But that would have been way less entertaining,
less fun,
and would he have necessarily believed it? Mm.
Well, yeah, and it's like it's good that he was not trusting. He should not be trusting of anything in the garden. I think the garden has proven that it cannot be trusted.
Yep.
But yeah, part of me was like, dude, you're a vampire. Like, you have to have some skills, right? You can't like sense demon versus human. But then we would have missed out on all the delightful fighting. Mm-hmm. So
yeah.
Yeah, somebody in our chat said that couldn't he like smell it? And I was just like, it's very hard to smell things when it's really cold outside.
It looked proper cold in some of those scenes. Mm-hmm.
There's some wind happening.
Yeah, I feel like also Doc's wearing a blue jean jacket, but it looks real kind of like puffed up. Like, I feel like he had some layers of insulation underneath there, which is wise. Mm-hmm. It just looked completely different from how he looked when he landed on the other side, which was clearly a different filming day.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also, poor Waverly stuck on that frozen tundra, cold stone throne.
I can't even imagine.
Like sitting your butt on frozen cement.
Ugh. I've been there, done that.
This is why I don't go to football games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In Canada.
Yeah. I didn't even go to football games in Wisconsin. It's not even that cold there. Although it's close. Yes.
Well, I just don't go to football games ever. So.
But yeah, so Waverly tries to accept her birthright. That's it.
She did a kind of like poor job of it, though.
Wow. As Kirsten said, you said like, well, she's doing all that and the Eves already escaped the garden. Like, so if you're being a guardian,
she's already gone. Like, out the door.
That part was a little confusing to me because you had, so she sits down, Waverly sits down, and Eve is starting to walk, and like as soon as the butt hits the stone, she like freezes and screams, and she's really mad. Okay, that's a good thing. But then later, Waverly's still sitting on the throne when Doc comes back to sort of take care of the demon, and suddenly she's able to move again. You know, the demon-y Winona, and so I didn't understand why that was. Why is she able to suddenly move when Waverly is still sitting on the throne? Like, it just that it didn't connect to me.
Because why is she sitting there if Eve can just leave?
Yeah,
so it didn't actually in the end didn't stop her.
I've got a theory.
Okay,
she's only half angel.
It's true.
And throughout that scene with Winona, she kind of slipped in between being like, I am the guardian, I am stone, blah blah blah, and then there were like moments where Waverly would break through.
Yep.
And she would be like, well, Nicole didn't even say yes or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. And so I'm wondering if, like, she wasn't fully able to control the garden the way that a real angel would have. And so in that way, Eve is able to overpower and break through some of that control. And and then, well, Doc didn't help by, like, booting her through the door. So there's that also.
He just literally kicks her out of the garden.
Mm-hmm. Into, we don't know, some swirly tunnel. It kind of looked like the time tunnel from the beginning of Doctor Who in the 1970s.
It did.
I mean, he said he was sending her to purgatory, but how the hell does he know?
We also don't know if they went through the same door at the end because we mm-hmm. there's so many doors and they all look the same. So you mm-hmm. can't tell yep. if it was the same door or a different door.
Yeah, I thought that was very clever sort of staging and blocking and direction because like I feel like things also could have kept changing because it's the garden and it's magical. So mm-hmm. like I never had a good sense in my head of the geography of it, of like which direction what things are. And I thought that was a good thing. Usually that's a bad thing, you know, because you want to sort of have an idea like this house is laid out in this direction and you go left to go to the bedroom and you go right to go to the kitchen. And like that sort of thing is kind of important. But when you're talking about a mystical, literal Garden of Eden, I don't necessarily think that there should be a, you know, north is this way, south is that way sort of rules to it. So I found being off kilter a little bit in that way kind of fun. I liked that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, and I liked the scene where they were trying to figure out which door they could get through. And it was kind of the aerial shot where they were on either side. Because, yeah. I mean, you could assume that maybe the doors do open from either side and maybe that mm-hmm. affects where you're going, right? So mm-hmm. I thought that was well done, too.
Yeah.
I think I said it kept reminding me this whole episode of an escape room. Because in both scenarios, it's like, what's the puzzle to figure out now? Like, especially when they're like trying to push all those buttons or find the key card or, mm-hmm. You know, Doc, who knows what Doc was doing. But I'm like, I feel like he's failing at the escape room. But Winona and Nicole were rocking it. Mm-hmm. So,
yep,
they figured it out.
They totally did it. Yeah. And once again, we have learned that BBD, Black Badge Division, is they're bad dudes. Because
they're like, just the worst.
Yeah, this place is awful. And they're trying to weaponize the Garden of Eden. Like, wow, that is some hubris.
And they made me feel sorry for the zombies because the zombies were all their mm-hmm. employees that they just like left for undead.
Totally.
Yeah.
Very sad.
Can we talk about that I will or she will moment in the garden?
Yes.
Because that actually made me tear up a little bit. Because when Winona says to Waverly, after Waverly's like, she didn't even say yes. And Winona goes, she will, baby girl. And I'm just like, stop it.
Yeah.
She will. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
And she's, you know, and that's, I like that that's what finally gets her to get up mm-hmm. and get off the chair. Like, you know, she's, as much as I love the sister relationship between her and Winona, I do feel like that's maybe not quite enough to get her to step away from something that she feels is of vital importance. But when you take that and add on top of it the love that mm-hmm. she feels for Nicole, like, I kind of almost feel like neither one on their own would necessarily be enough. But when you got both of those things put together, that is enough to, you know, shake a half angel out of her funk or whatever and get her up and moving, which is a good thing. And it was beautiful.
Yeah.
And it mm-hmm. directly led to one of the hottest scenes, like, on television, honestly.
Just damn. Mm-hmm.
Well, and I was like, right, this is why we're getting more fucks. It's because they raised the rating mm-hmm. of the show. So it was a mature rating, which mm-hmm. means you can swear more often and you can have super sexy sex scenes.
That explains so much.
Mm-hmm. Yowza. Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, that was, I thought it was a very well directed scene. I liked the song. Mm-hmm. It was just, and it was just really cool to see. Like, I've seen plenty of steamy sex mm-hmm. scenes between a man and a woman on television, and it was just really nice to see a same-sex couple going at it in that same way.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I loved that the time frame, jumping back slightly, but when afterwards, when Waverly's like, how long have you gone? And I love that Kirsten the whole time is like, how long? How long? She's like, I know this is a time jump, and how long? Mm-hmm. But it's like that time jump of 18 months, so many days, was actually the number of days between season 3 and season 4 as like a little meta comment about the show and the fans. And it's like those little Easter eggs that they don't matter if you don't know them, but when you do know them, you can be like, aw, that was for us.
That is super great. It feels very ERP-ish.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like doing it for the fans. All right. Is there anything else you guys want to cover before we sign off for this one? What have I missed?
Well, Winona and Doc had a kiss or two, right, in the garden. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I was basically,
which I'm just remembering now,
screaming at
that's
them.
A long time.
Like that, like it was a wonderful, beautiful, tender moment, and I'm going, Waverly's gonna turn to stone. Stop. I was very worried at that point.
Yes. Well, and then they have an almost kiss at the end.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And then Winona sees all the mm-hmm. bodies hanging. And I do remember when that episode ended and we were actually had to wait a week in between. Mm-hmm. And that was like, what? Mm-hmm. Because I feel like we're sort of mentally prepared for whatever, like we're going to go in the garden. We have to go rescue Doc and Waverly, that sort of framework. And it's like, it's episode two and we've like covered it.
Yep.
So now what is the rest of the season? Like you don't know. I don't know. I don't know what's happening. Clearly something's really wrong. Does it have to do with Eve? Does it like what? So I remember being almost more anxious after this episode ended than the previous one, because I kind of felt like I could see the trajectory and now you don't know the trajectory.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep.
Classic ERP.
Totally. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The rug was definitely pulled out from underneath us. And we were not getting what we expected, which is great. It's in a very good way.
It's more fun this way.
It really is. It absolutely is. All right. Well, I'm excited to move on to episode 3, where we can see a little bit more of this trajectory. Mm-hmm. And no promises on when that's going to happen, but it'll happen.
Yep. That's our new motto. Mm-hmm.
There's some things I'm excited
promises.
About.
No promises.
All right. Until next time.
Lights out, bitch.